Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father, he'll testify to me, and you also testify because you've been with me from the beginning. I have told you this so that you may not fall away. They will expel you from the synagogues. In fact, the hour is coming when everyone who kills you will think he is offering worship to God. They'll do this because they've not known either the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you. The Gospel of the Lord. The opening prayer, we pray that we would rejoice in the Paschal mysteries. St. Ignatius of Loyola in the spiritual exercises, when we arrive at the fourth week in a month retreat, or the tenth week in my program, the grace that we pray for is intensissimo gozo, which in English would be the most intense joy. However, where does the joy come from? It does not come from the creature, but from the Creator. That has to be specified. True joy comes from God. From God. And Our Lady teaches us by saying, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." So never forget that. True joy comes only from God. And you know, you have children, you got teenagers, tell them that. You know, you're sad because you're walking away from God. No brainer, huh? But it has to be specified. People are sad because they're seeking God and they're seeking for joy in the wrong place. One occasion, a woman lost her keys and looked in the refrigerator, she looked in the garage, and she finally found them in her purse. That's where they've always been, huh? So we find God, we find joy in God, our Savior. Okay, the first reading, one idea is this, is that Paul is a missionary, and he's going from one place to the other, from Troas to Samothrace, from Samothrace to Neapolis, from Neapolis to Philippi. He is just going from place to place, preaching the Word of God. You're called to do that. From your home to your workplace to the gas station to the store to be with your children. No matter where we go, we are called to be missionaries. We are. No matter where we go. Because we are Christian Catholics 24/7. You know what that means? Para siempre. Always. Now, certain Catholics have a compartments. You know, I'm a Catholic when I go to Mass on Sunday, go to catechism, and then maybe I go to a talk of the priest. I'm a Catholic for those 3 hours. The other 165 hours, I'm a pagan shouldn't be that way. We're Catholics 24/7. If you're really open to God, wherever you go, God is going to open up the door. For example, Paul. What was his intention? When he arrived in Philippi, he was probably tired. He wanted to go down where there was some water flowing, a stream or a river. He said, finally, I'll be able to go to the river and I'll be able to pray and rest. These ladies followed him. Boy. These ladies followed him. One name was Lydia. So he said to himself, probably, well, here they are. Let's preach Jesus Christ. He preaches and Lydia is converted. Then Lydia goes and converts her whole household. And she says, well, if you really believe me, come and have a nice meal with me and my family. He didn't want to go, but she prevailed because she insisted. His intention was to pray near the riverside. But God's intention was, first convert these people, then we'll pray afterward. That's the work of a missionary. A missionary is a person that's always open to the working of the Holy Spirit. Always open. 24/7. So remember that. Wherever you go, God is going to give you a door of opportunity. You got to go through the door. And I think we have to be more courageous. Overcome our fears. Be more courageous. In preaching the Word of God in season, out of season, as St. Paul teaches. Okay, the Gospel, our Lord is speaking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Not this coming Sunday, but the following Sunday, we're going to be celebrating Pentecost, which is the coming of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord is speaking very clear. He's saying that if we really have the Holy Spirit, we shouldn't be surprised if we are going to be persecuted. We're going to be persecuted. We're going to have to suffer for Christ. That's very clear. Maybe you know this, but about the first 250 years in which we had the popes, almost all of them were martyred for the first close to 300 years. That was in the time of persecution before Constantine in the Edict of Milan legalized Catholicism as the state religion. But they suffered and they died for Christ. We're in times in which persecution is already upon us in a more sophisticated fashion, but it can become all the more violent. We have to be prepared. Okay. We celebrate a saint today. It's not an obligatory feast day, but today is the feast day of Saint Rita of Cascia. Have any of you heard of her? Saint Rita of Cascia. There's actually a good DVD that came out from Ignatius Press, I think about 15 years ago. It's pretty long, but it's worth seeing. Okay, just a brief summary of her life. She was a woman, she didn't want to get married, but was kind of forced into it by her parents. And she married a bum. She married a bum. I mean, the guy was a real bum. B-U-M, bum, okay? And her husband was very much like the husband of St. Monica, okay? St. Rita and St. Monica, they both married bums. They were violent. They were womanizers. They were drunks. I mean, they were bums. And what happened was, her husband was murdered. She had two sons. And they decided, as they say in Italian, dolce vendetta, sweet revenge, the way they say in Italian, that they were going to kill the person that killed their father. They had planned that. And Rita heard about this. And this was her prayer to God. I prefer that they die rather than carry out that intention. And guess what happened? They died. they died. But they were able to repent of it and confess before they died. They were able to go through a process of conversion before they died. And the most extraordinary thing is that Saint Rita was praying that she might become a religious. And she was rejected, kind of like Saint Faustina. Then she was praying outside an Augustinian convent, and the gates were closed and the gates were open, and they allowed her to come in and to become an Augustinian nun. Extraordinary, extraordinary work of divine providence. One little detail in her life would be this. Saint Rita was a stigmatic. There are various forms of the stigmata. She didn't have the stigmata in her hands or her feet. She just had a little wound in her forehead. And what came out of it were worms, gusanos, and a very fetid, ugly smell came out of that wound. And she suffered that patiently for a long, long time. She lived into her 70s, about 77, 78 before she died. But what an extraordinary life. We say in the Ignatian exercises, death rather than sin. She preferred that her sons die physically than die spiritually. And that's an example for parents. I would say 99% of Catholic parents place the body, the material of their children over their spiritual. But now and then you're going to find a mother and a father that love the soul of their children more than their body. Remember the Maccabees? Remember that passage? What did the mother? She preferred the soul of her seven boys over their body. So let's pray to Saint Rita for mothers as well as for nuns, as well as those who maybe have suffered damage from another person, that they would be able to forgive. And they would recognize that the most important thing in this world is not our body. The most important thing in this world is our soul, that our soul go to heaven. Amen.